How's everybody doing tonight? Yeah, one person's good. How's everybody at home? Good. It's good to see you guys in the house of the Lord. It's good to see you guys at home. Who's had a crazy week so far? Anyone? Yeah, it's been a crazy week. How many of you guys enjoyed worship? Amen, that was good. As I was meditating in God's word this week, God's been convicting me of certain things in my life. So I'm gonna share what God's convicted me, because I know if I'm going through it, then some of you may be going through it too. Georgie last week sent me an awesome sermon, and I listened to it as I was going to work, and it really ministered to me. And I know in this season of a crazy 2020 year, I'm on social media not too much, but I see a lot of people posting like, yeah, let's get rid of 2020 and like this year stinks, and you guys have seen the post. But I think as Christians we should be speaking life. And I think God has been doing amazing things in 2020. Although we have suffered a loss in our families and in our church, I think that God is still worthy to be praised. Amen. And although 2020 has been a tough year for many of us, I think that we have to still come to God and say, God, thank you for this time. Thank you that we're alive. I've seen a growth in our church and the outside service. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. Pastor Drew has been speaking on every person every week, right? And that means to invite a new person every week, and God will do his work in them. So I encourage you, every person every week. Come on, say it with me. Every person every week. Every person, every week. Amen. So invite someone this weekend. Man, we have room for a lot of people, and we're making room. And honestly, God is moving. If you guys missed Sunday service was awesome. And the worship was awesome, and the word was great, and the people here are awesome. I love my kids coming to church. And I think that in this time, in this season, I think we have to press in to God even more than ever. Amen? Amen. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk of what's going to happen with elections and all this just craziness going around our world. I'm kind of over it. Isn't anyone else? But you know what? The Bible warned us, and it spoke, and Jesus talks about the end times. And I'm not here to freak you out, but I do want to touch on some end times. But I really believe that, like I said, as a church, as Christians, as believers, we need to be a light in this time. And we need to step up and really take our place and not be intimidated by what's going on around. Like, everything we say is wrong now. Everything, if we say righteousness, man, that's wrong. It's not politically correct, but listen, God has called us to be righteous. He's called us to be holy. He's called us to be a light. Amen. So I'm going to go straight into scripture, and I just want to share this with you guys today. I want to go to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read from 3 and on. It says that now, as Jesus sat at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus replies, he answers to these guys and tells them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Everybody say that. Take heed that no one deceives you. Church, God is telling us right now, take heed, be very careful that no one deceives you. For many, not some, not a few, the Bible says that for many, Jesus said, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Are we seeing that now? We are. All these are the beginning of what?
Sorrows.
Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be what?
Offended.
Does anyone know an offended person in this house? Not in this house, but does anyone know someone who's been easily offended?
Everybody, all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
How many people have you met that grew up in church, they came to church, and then the pastor didn't say hi to them, and they stopped coming to church because they were offended?
Yeah.
Amen. Shayla, do you know somebody?
Sure.
Yeah, Shayla knows somebody. Andy. Does anyone else know anyone like that? I do. And they get offended for the dumbest things, right? Easily offended.
Yeah.
They will be offended. They will betray one another and will hate one another. Aren't we seeing that in our nation right now?
Yeah.
Then many false prophets, everybody say false prophets, will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, stay right here. The love of many will grow cold. Man, do we not see that?
Yeah.
I was driving through, we call it the hood. I was at work today. And we're just driving down the streets. And cars are cutting each other off. It's crazy. Cars are running red lights in front of us.
Yeah.
Yesterday, this guy was cutting people off, and we're driving not an unmarked car, but we stopped this guy, and as soon as we get off, he starts cursing at us, and he starts saying, y'all in the police, y'all detectives, go back to your desk, cursing at us, cussing us out, talk about my mama. And for a moment, as a human being, can I preach, please? As a human being, my flesh wanted to punch this guy in the face. Right? But guess what? I didn't want to be on the news and, you know, a cell phone video from three different witnesses. And no, I'm kidding. I would not punch no person in the face. But do you understand? Like, that happens every day, everywhere. Lawlessness is abounding in our nation. Lawlessness is abiding in our cities. And we feel sometimes that we can't speak on these issues as a church because people will attack us. Well, guess what? The older I get, guys, the less I care about what people think.
Yeah.
When I was young, I thought like a child, and guess what? I wanted people to like me. You could ask my wife. I want people to love me because Jesus is in me. But if you don't like me because Jesus is in me, then guess what? You don't hate me. You hate Jesus. So we have to speak on these issues. We see lawlessness on TV. All these news outlets are showing this kind of stuff. And I trip out, like, my kids are asking, like, my kids know about coronavirus. My kids know about, they're watching news with people burning flags and beating on each other, you know, and saying, you know, F the police or all this crazy stuff. That's not of God. That's lawlessness.
Yeah.
And as Christians, we need to stand up. And again, this is not a political message. This is just a reminder for the church to stand up and to speak and be loving, be a light. If people want to hate, guess what? The church has to stand up and be more loving.
Yeah.
If people want to lie, then the church has to stand up and be honest.
Yeah.
That's our job. Jesus was hated for speaking the truth. He is the truth. He rattled people's cages. And I think that as Christians, we've been very passive, and we need to be more passionate, more than ever, to stand up and and have that righteousness and have that godly jealousy. Amen? Is someone learning something tonight? Is someone being encouraged at home tonight? Amen. Go to my next scripture, brother. I want you to see this. 2 Timothy 4:1 says that this is Paul speaking to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor, and Paul here is charging him. He's encouraging him. And this is what God is telling us tonight. I charge you, therefore, before God and Jesus Christ, who will judge. One day, guys, we are going to be judged. You and I will be judged. Who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. This is not the time to bow down. This is not the time to crumble down and get on our knees and be fearful. No, the Bible says to preach the word. Be ready in season. In season, in this crazy coronavirus season, in this crazy pandemic and all this other political nonsense that's happening, be ready in this season. Don't wait for the elections to pass. People say, well, everything's going to calm down after the elections. Guess what? This is our season, guys, to invite every person every week. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Now, we're not going to be telling people, oh, you sinners, do it with love. Amen? For the time will come, again, the Bible talks about it again. Paul's addressing it. For the time will come when they, who's they? Us, the people. They will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, check this out. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. People do not want to hear about the gospel of Jesus now. People don't want to hear about how. People don't want to hear about condemnation and judgment. They just want to hear about love and mercy and you know what? You're good the way you are. Come as you are and stay as you are. No, the Bible talks about, you know, when he addresses sinners and he addressed people that were living in sin, he says, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. Man, aren't we seeing that? People don't want to hear the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, everybody say you. Point to yourself, you. Turn to your neighbor and say you. Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Again, what Pastor Drew has been teaching. Do the work of an evangelist. What does an evangelist do? He brings the good news. What is the good news? Jesus. Amen. Fulfill your ministry. What ministry? The ministry of an evangelist. Drawing people close to Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's a good scripture. Now, as Christians, this is how we do things right here. I'm going to share a scripture that's very close to my heart, and it is because I grew up in church, and I was part of a huge family. I had over 50 cousins. I have 12 uncles and aunts. Yeah, they were real busy in Mexico. And God calls my dad from Guadalajara, Mexico, to come and to the U.S. And if you're watching this, Dad, I'm sorry, but I'm going to share. He came to the U.S. as an illegal immigrant. Oh, Pastor George was an illegal immigrant. He was. But he didn't come here because he wanted to be here illegally. He wanted to come here because he was hearing from the Holy Spirit. So he moves here in the 1980s, before any of us here in this room were probably born. And one person said, not me. And he says he went through really tough times because his family, like, they lived in one house. Like, they lived in a very small house. Imagine living in a two-bedroom, two-bath with 12 or 15 people in that house. It's nuts. And we're over here complaining, you know, our 1,500 square foot apartment with, you know, four people. That they were real tight. God, the Holy Spirit, he encounters Jesus at the age of 21 in Mexicali. And the Holy Spirit tells him, I want you to come to California. And he has this conversation with God and says, well, I don't want to go to the U.S. illegally. He says, you go. So he comes. Eventually, all his brothers and sisters come. That's nuts, huh? Imagine just crossing the border like 12 deep. That's a lot of people. But check this out. In the 1980s, President Ronald Reagan, he passes the amnesty and they gain legal residency here in the U.S. Well, growing up in the same church with all my family, my grandma used to sing this song entitled Ebenezer. In Spanish, it's called Ebenezer. And we would all, our family, every Thanksgiving would go up to the front. They would have this tradition that all the families would come up and then the leader of the family would share, you know, I just want to thank God for this and give Thanksgiving. And I had that privilege. We would go and my grandma would always grab the mic and say, you know what, we're going to sing this song called Ebenezer. And they would start singing it. And it'd just go like Ebenezer until this day God has held us with his power, with his might, with his grace. This song will last from generation to generation. Ebenezer, God has kept us to this day. My grandma was an awesome woman of God. I get emotional because, I mean, she passed away 10 years ago, and we were so close. She was like a second mom to me, and we would write music together and spend a lot of time together. So, yeah, I miss her. Actually, I'm going to see her again. Amen. But after she passed, this tradition of singing this song kind of ceased. And as I was reading scripture, and I go through 1 Samuel, and we're going to read it together, I think that as a church, we have to reestablish this once again. And instead of getting into the stream of complaining, of this year stinks, of this year is no good, how about we raise a thanksgiving to Jesus for everything that he's done? The Bible says that Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel. And again, I want to apply this to the church today because I feel that this applies to us. So here Isaac is speaking to the house of hope. Amen. And I know many of you, this won't apply to you, but if the shoe fits, just put it on. You'll stop getting, how do you say it, in callos and how do you say, blisters. Amen? It says, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts. It says all your hearts, not some, a portion. It says all your hearts. And put away the foreign gods and Asherites from among you. Now, for us, gods could be our job. A God could be our worry. Anything that we put in front of God with a capital G is a God with a lowercase g. It says, if you put all these things away, look, and prepare your heart for the Lord. I really believe sometimes we do a terrible job at this. We say, God, we give you our heart, but there's something that needs to happen. We need to prepare our hearts. On Sunday, when we come to church, there needs to be a preparation of our hearts during the week, not just on Sunday. God doesn't prepare your heart. You and I have to prepare our hearts. How do we do that? By spending time with God, by spending time in Scripture, by praying, by fasting, by taking the time out of our day to put God first and then everything else after. Prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve Him only. We live in a time where we are serving, and I say we as a generation sometimes, we as a society, we don't, America isn't, if what you see, people aren't serving God. They're serving other things. They're exalting political statements or agendas more than they support God's word. We can't be doing that and serve Him only. God is a jealous God. He wants all of our attention, not only on Sundays, not only on Wednesdays, but He wants all our affection, all our attention. And this is a part. It's always conditional. And I love this because God expects something from us. And as we do that, then He does something for us. And the Bible says that prepare your hearts and serve Him only, and He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Church, you want to be delivered from your sickness? You want to be delivered from your affliction? You want to be delivered from your enemies that are tormenting you and talking behind you? You want to be delivered from all this stuff that's happening? Serve God. Prepare your heart. Surrender to Him. Then He will deliver you. Look, so the children of Israel put away the bells. They put away everything and serve the Lord only. Everybody say only. And Samuel said, gathered all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. Remember, back then, the prophet of God would have to intercede for the people. Sometimes it happened once a year only. The priest would go, and he would have to kill an innocent animal and pray for the sins of everyone. Well, guess what? You and I don't have to wait for once a year. We don't have to come to Pastor Drew and say, Pastor Drew, I mean, he'll pray for you. Trust me, he will. But we don't have to come to Pastor Drew and say, Pastor Drew, can you intercede for us, please? No, you and I now have direct access because of Jesus Christ. We come boldly to His throne. Amen. So they gathered together at Mizpah. They drew water and they poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now look, when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. Isn't it funny when you come together in agreement and you say, I'm going to serve God? It feels like that's when the enemy attacks you even more. Has anybody ever had that happen to them? It's happened to me. So they went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord, our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord, everybody say the Lord, thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below as Bethkar. Then Samuel, here it comes, he took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called its name, what? Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Now this part I love. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. From Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. I love this story. It says that Samuel, go back to that scripture where he raises an Ebenezer. He grabs his stone and he says, This stone called Ebenezer represents that God has been with us and he's helped us until this day. And I love, thus far the Lord has helped us. This year, although it's been a rough year, man, let's, as a church, let's not be like the world and be complainers. Let's raise our Ebenezer tonight and say, thus the Lord has helped us to this day. Amen? And I love what God does. He not only defends Israel, but he restores everything that the enemy took away from them. If people want to complain this year, let them. You raise your Ebenezer at home tonight. If people want to cry, if they want to murmur, if they want to be easily offended, I think as a church, I don't think, I know as a church, we need to do the complete opposite and be thankful. So tonight, I want to encourage you. I'm done already with message. And I just want together tonight to, as families come together in their homes, the people that are here tonight, I want you to raise an Ebenezer with me. Just gather your families right now, wherever you are. If you're in this room, just hold someone's hand that's next to you. Father, tonight we raise our Ebenezer, Lord. As a church of Christ, we come together and we thank you and we declare that we are more than victorious and we're more than conquerors through Jesus. Yes, we do live in crazy times and we do live in times where people are their love is growing cold, but right now we just thank you. We say that our love is growing hotter for you, not colder for you. We say that we're more in love with you now than we've ever been. And we raise our thanksgiving tonight, just like Samuel did. And I thank you for those that have suffered loss this year. Those that have suffered financial loss. Those that have suffered the loss of a loved one. Those who have suffered loss of a relationship. We pray right now, Lord, that you restore everything that the enemy has come to steal. Maybe you're asking, well, how am I going to get my loved one back? God will give you more than you need. In his peace, supernatural peace right now, Lord. We pray for health. We pray for just your grace, Lord. We pray for your protection. We thank you for this church. We thank you that you're continuing to raise leaders. We thank you so much. And we just come together and we thank you. If anyone wants to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior tonight, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. If someone wants to recommit their life to Jesus tonight, maybe you say, well, you know what? I still haven't put some of my idols away, Isaac. I have some idols that I still need to get rid of. Get rid of them tonight. Just like Samuel told the people, put them away. Actually, don't put them away, because when you put them away, then you can take them back out. Let's destroy those things tonight. If you need to do that, just raise your hand wherever you are. And I'm raising my hand with you. Father, tonight we destroy these things that have hindered our relationship with you. And Lord, we turn our hearts. We want to prepare our hearts for you only. For you only. For you only. For you only. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone tonight. As you turn your heart and you prepare your heart to God and to God only, then start to see how he'll start to restore your love and your marriage. As you fall in love more with Jesus, you'll start to see how you'll start to fall more in love with your wife and your husband. You'll start to fall in love with spending time with God. Every time this is me being honest with you guys. In my time as a Christian, the times that I've backslid or that I've had a downfall in my relationship with Jesus, the enemy's real astute, and he'll come and say, man, it's going to take a really long time to get back on track. Has anyone else ever felt like that? But then as soon as I start reading the Bible, like I feel like on fire immediately. It's like God doesn't say, well, you know, you've been bad so like for these many weeks, so it's going to take, I'm going to be mad at you for that many weeks, and then like I could trust you again, right? Because that's how we are, and we try to judge God's character based on how people treat us. But if you mess up, it don't matter. Like if you say, Lord, I'm sorry, and you're honest, and he knows your heart, trust me, like he restores it right there, and he forgets all that other stuff. But God is saying tonight, like he told that woman that got caught up in adultery, go and sin no more. Don't be repeating this. Yesterday, Pastor Drew and I were talking, and he was sharing that scripture in Hebrews where it says, if you're sinning willfully, that there's no more remission of the blood. And that's something that we need to really take heed of. Amen. If you're knowingly sinning, stop it, please. Not for me, do it for Jesus. Amen. But yeah, we love you guys. We want to see you guys on Sunday. Invite someone, every person, every week. Say it, every person, every week. And teach your kids too. They can invite their little friends. And we're praying for your kids. I know a lot of them started school, and it's a lot different. But just take advantage of this time. Yeah. Oh, this season stink, man. My kids are home. Enjoy them. Enjoy them. Amen. I'll show you guys. You guys want to see somebody really fast before we leave? Yeah. All right, Aaron, come over here, bro. Can you bring Aaron up here? This little boy started walking. Amen. And as Pastor Shayla brings him up. Thanks. Hey, buddy. This boy started walking a few weeks ago, and he's solid. Like, he has not failed. And I'm thankful for this guy. But really, this is why we have to stand up, church, for our generation right here. Our future pastors, our future worship leaders, we have to stand up for them. There's a society, there's the enemy wants to destroy them because he knows. He doesn't want them coming to church. He doesn't want them learning about the truth. So as parents, I encourage you, monitor what they watch. Disney Plus, get rid of it. Yeah. For real. Pray about it. Let the Lord direct you in what you need to let them watch. Amen? Because this is who we need to protect. I grew up with no phone. This guy's going to be having a phone when he's like in a couple months. I'm just kidding. He's not. This is who we need to protect. Amen? Not because he's my son. I'm saying in general. Amen? You want to say something, bro? Amen. So we thank you guys for joining in. We love you guys. We'll see you guys here on Sunday. Amen.